Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the fascinating Mahabharata character series. Today we'll continue with the discussion of Bhishma. In the last discussion, we can stop at the point where Bhishma had taken his fearsome, formidable, extraordinary vow to remain celibate even while being leading a life of royalty. Now, soon after Shantanu married Satyavati, he had children. He had two children, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Now, Chitrangada was a formidable warrior. In fact, he was a glorious Kshatriya. His fame became so much that the fame spread even in the celestial regions. And there was a celestial Gandharva of the same name, Chitrangada. And he could not tolerate the fame of this earthly Chitrangada, and he challenged him to a fight. And although Bhishma was the older brother, but when one Kshatriya is challenged to a fight by another, another Kshatriya cannot come in to intervene. So the two Chitrangadas fought, and although it was a long and fierce fight, eventually the Gandharva won and he killed Chitrangada. Then only Vichitravirya, one son, remained. And now in the Vedic culture, there was monarchy. Monarchy is different from dictatorship as we have it today. Dictatorship or autocracy, where often the power is vested in one person, and that one person is often untrained, power hungry, brutal, exploitative, corrupt, and makes such a person's rule makes the lives of subjects into a living hell often. So that was not the kind of kings that would be there in the Vedic culture. Monarchy means one king would be there, but it would be a divine monarchy in the sense that the king would be trained by competent leadership, competent guides, and there would be a dynasty which would go on generation after generation. And the kings would be trained in that dynastic succession, and the child who would be begotten, the son who would be begotten in such a dynasty, right from the early childhood would receive training from the ministers, the king, the sages, the Brahmins, and such a person would know the spiritual values of life and would know that I am meant to rule the kingdom as a representative of God and take care as a servant leader of the citizens, both materially and spiritually. So, now normally there is also the principle of karma that is involved over here. And just as a Brahmana and a Brahmani, when they unite, they in a proper Brahmanical way, then they attract a soul of a Brahmanical disposition into their lives. And that such a soul takes forward the Brahmanical qualities which have been brought from the previous life's actions that were done. That's how the soul has got birth in a Brahmanical family. And further, such a person also gets Brahmanical further qualities developed by being brought up in a Brahmanical upbringing culture. So both ways, the Brahmanical qualities get reinforced. And similarly, with respect to the Kshatriya qualities also. So this was, so caste was, so the birth was not all important, but birth is also not unimportant, because we understand that birth does not happen by chance. This life is not the only life, and birth in a particular family is determined by one's karma. So that means an Kshatriya and a Kshatrani unite together, and they are properly married in proper cultured way, then the soul who is attracted to their womb through them to the world is a soul who has Kshatriya qualities from a previous life. And those Kshatriya qualities are again further supplemented or further developed, complemented by this world life's upbringing. And in this way, a competent king would be there in the lineage. So, now a competent king was needed, and Vichitravirya was to become that king, because Bhishma had taken the vow that he would not become the king. So when Maharaj Shantanu departed from the world, Vichitravirya was supposed to become the king. And now, because Vichitravirya did not have any father now, so the responsibility fell on his elder brother. So Bhishma himself decided to arrange for the marriage of his brother. It's a difficult responsibility. He's young, virile, powerful, handsome, a glorious male himself. And he had to arrange for not a queen for himself, but a queen for his brother. And he went around this task, and he went to the Swayamvar where three princesses, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, were being offered. And there are various ways in which Kshatriyas often have their marriages done. So, the Swayamvars happen in different ways at different times. In some cases, certain test is set, and the purpose of the test is that the most meritorious Kshatriya would be able to win. So Bhishma thought this is similar set test that has been set up over here. And when this came up, he challenged all the Kshatriyas over there. So he challenged and they were surprised. And they fought with him and Bhishma overpowered all of them. And after overpowering all of them, he came like a hawk and powerfully, without being stopped by anyone, he won the Swayamvar and took all these three princes. And he returned to his kingdom, that is Hastinapur, with all the three princes in tow. And now, in the heat of the moment, the whole plan was that he had not expected any complications, because Swayamvar means the most competent Kshatriya shows his prowess and then that Kshatriya wins the princesses. So he had shown his prowess and now he had desired the queens, not only the princes, not for himself but for his brother. But by the time he reached his kingdom back, so one of the kings who offered the stiffest resistance was King Shalya. And Shalya fought fiercely. It was an intense fight, but eventually Bhishma had overpowered him also. And after being overpowered, he left. Then by the time, after the heat of the moment was just getting over and they reached, and he introduced the princesses to Vichitravirya. So Amba, one of the three princesses, approached him and told him that she had already given her heart to Shalya, and the plan was in the Swayamvar, Shalya was also a valorous prince, and he would win her in the Swayamvar. But they had not anticipated Bhishma's power, and that's why Shalya had, although tried his best, he had been overpowered. And she said that she had already given her heart to Shalya. So when Bhishma heard this, he felt it was a moral dilemma. Naturally, if she wanted to marry someone else, he did not want to force her to get married to someone else. So he honorably had her arrange to return back to Shalya. Now, when she went to Shalya, Shalya was already mortified because he had already been defeated in a war, and as per the code of Kshatriya honor, he felt he had been dishonored by the defeat. And so he could not, he said that, "No, you have already been carried away by another man, Bhishma, and I cannot accept you." So Amba felt her heart breaking under her, and she said, "No, I did not go willingly. I was carried away forcibly, and at the first opportunity I got to explain things to him, I did explain to him, and immediately he has sent me back honorably. Please accept me. What can I do?" So Shalya, he felt that his Kshatriya honor, how can I accept as a queen? I am meant to set the rule for others. I have to be exemplary. A woman who has lived with another man, how can I accept her as my queen? What example would I be setting for the citizens by this? So she said, "No, but it was all against my will and nothing is improper has happened between us." Said, "No, Bhishma has carried you away. He should either marry you or he should take you. He should give to Vichitravirya." Now, Vichitravirya, by this time, he had also heard about Amba's desire, and he said, when Amba went back to Hastinapur, she said that, "How can I accept a woman as my wife whose heart is longing for some other man, who is sighing for some other man?" Then she said, "Bhishma, you had arranged all this. You are responsible. So now you should marry me." So Bhishma said, "I can't do that. I have taken a vow of celibacy. You know it is impossible." So he said, "I will have you honorably returned back to your father's place." He said, "I cannot go back to my father's place. I will be utterly dishonored over there. What face will I show over there in that kingdom?" Life sometimes is so complex. And it throws us dilemmas which have no easy resolution. And when she saw that Bhishma was unrelenting, she decided to go to the forest. And in the forest she met various sages, and she was crying. She just refused to go back to either kingdom, and she went on her own to the forest to a hermitage of sages, and she started crying bitterly. And the sages were large hearted, and they asked her what was the cause of her grief. And when it was explained to her, then the sages, one of the sages was actually her paternal, her grandfather, who had renounced the world and had become a Rajarishi, who had been Rajarishi and now he had renounced the world also and become a Rishi. So he was angered and he said that such a person should be punished. And then this Bhishma has wronged you and he should be punished. So he says, wait for some time, let Parshuram come here. Parshuram is going to come, and he has not only, he's not Brahmana, but he has Kshatriya prowess also. And Bhishma is his student. So surely he will set things right for you. So Parshuram soon came there. And once Parshuram came there, it was a terrible thing that happened, in the sense that Amba was crying bitterly, grievously. And finally, her whole plight was told. So Parshuram said that, "No, I have already given up my weapons. I am not going to fight anymore. I have fought against the Kshatriyas 21 times and I will not fight anymore." He said, "Please, how can you see such an injustice happening? Please help me." So he said, "Okay, how can I help you right now?" He said, "But actually I will not take up arms again, but if a Brahmana instructs me, I will not refuse." And finally, one of his own disciples, seeing Amba's plight, her grief, her helplessness, Akritvarman, one of his own disciples, he requested him, who was also a Brahman, and requested him, "Please, please do something to protect her." So Parshuram couldn't refuse the request of a Brahmana. And now we have to understand that Parshuram, it was not that he was unwilling to help, but he had already fought against the world Kshatriyas 21 times. And his feeling was that, "I have already fought, and as it is not, proper for a Kshatriya to, for a Brahmana to pick up weapons. But I had done that because I had to protect Brahminical culture. Kartavir Arjun, who represents the Kshatriyas, had become so power hungry and so insensitive and so uncultured and so cruel that he had dared for a small reason to kill a great Rishi and my father, Jamadagni. So he had taken and he had rid the world of Empire Kshatriyas 21 times. But thereafter he felt that now the Empire Kshatriyas have been removed from the world. And then he had actually bathed in the 7th Panchak and he had performed austerities. And he had decided to give up his weapons. So he was not ready to take up weapons again. But when the Brahmana requested, the idea was that he was still here, the Brahmana, and he felt that he had the responsibility to protect Brahminical culture. And so he accepted the request. And then he went to Bhishma. When Bhishma saw that Parshuram, who happened to be his martial teacher, came there, he offered him the highest respect. And he offered him all grace and honor. And Parshuram was still angry. He said, after having heard the story of Amba, he said, "What have you done? You have ruined this woman's life. You must set things right and marry her." So Bhishma looked at his preceptor gravely and he said, "No, you know that I have taken a vow and I cannot break my vow. And therefore I cannot marry her." He said, "If you do not marry her, then you will have to fight with me." So Parshuram was very angry and he goaded Bhishma. And then Bhishma said, "You are my worshipable elder. I cannot fight with you. But still, I cannot dishonor my word. And as you are not considering considering the whole situation, and you are giving me an instruction which is against dharma. So now actually Kshatriya dharma is very complex over here." Now Bhishma had taken a vow at another time, another place, that he would never marry, and so that he would not have any progeny who would act as competitors to Satyavati's progeny. Now On the other hand, a Kshatriya also has another duty, that above when a woman asks shelter for him, from him, he cannot refuse that shelter. So, now what was he to do? So, this is what we will see repeatedly in the Mahabharata. There is moral conflict and there is ethical conflict. So, moral conflict means that one thing is right and another thing is wrong. And then moral conflict requires inner strength. Suppose somebody is tempted by something which is clearly wrong. Say, a husband-wife have a relationship and one of them is tempted for some extramarital relationship. Now there, their lines of morality are fairly clear. It's immoral. And one needs inner strength, moral strength, to just resist the temptation. It's not easy in many some situations, but what it requires primarily is moral strength. But in contrast to that, ethical crisis is when there are two options, or two courses of action possible, and both of them have some morality in it. But which is a higher morality and which is a lower morality is something which is difficult to decide at such a time. So that was what had happened with Bhishma over here. Now, he had on one side given his word that he would never marry. And second was that the Kshatriya had to protect. So which word to follow? Now he felt in this situation, he had no desire to ruin anyone's life, Amba's wife, but he just felt that the things had become complicated without his intention, and he had done what he could to set things right. He had sent her honorably back to Shalya. He was ready to send her honorably back to her father, but she had not been ready to accept it. And he felt that the word he had taken, it was not so much his vow of celibacy that was important, that was also of course important, but it was the fact that he did not want to go against the fact that he had forsaken the kingdom, and he did not want any future conflict. If he married and he had sons, they might stake claim, and it would lead to conflict. So it was not just the fact that he had taken a vow, and it was not just his vow, and it was not just the fact that he wanted to be known as a celibate. That was one aspect of it. But the purpose of the vow of celibacy was so that he could sacrifice for his father's happiness, and so that dynasty, that line from his father with Satyavati would continue. So now he had that larger point to keep in mind also. So it might seem that it would be easy. Here is a woman begging him to accept her, and why is he saying no just for the sake of his vow? It's not just for the sake of his vow. Actually, he was also thinking, Bhishma will see later also, he tries his best to avoid internecine conflict within the Kuru dynasty. As much as possible, he tries to avoid it. And his refusal here was also motivated by that. His desire to avoid conflict among the Kurus in future. So, he refused. And now, because of his desire to avoid any future conflicts within the Kuru dynasty, he had to now face a conflict with his own teacher. Parashuram said that, then I challenge you for a fight. If you're not going to follow my instructions, you must fight with me. And then they both decided that the fight would be held in Kurukshetra. And then Parashuram appeared in front of him on the war field. And Bhishma also came there. Bhishma supporters were there. Parashuram supporters also came. The Brahmins and others. Amba was also there. And then Bhishma asked Parashuram, I am on a chariot. Where is your chariot? How can I fight with you? So Parashuram laughed. He said, I don't need a chariot. The earth itself will, he gave a series of poetic verses saying, the earth itself will be the chariot, the winds will be my horses, and the Vedas will be my arrows. Like that, he gave a metaphorical description of how he as a Brahmin was going to fight. And so from the ground itself, he shot a volley of arrows. And surprised by the ferocity and the speed of that attack, Bhishma countered. And as he countered, he found that just as the arrows were settling down, he found that suddenly there was a magnificent chariot that had appeared. Giant chariot. And the same disciple of Parshuram, Varman, who had actually earlier asked him to fight on behalf of Amba, he had now become his charioteer. And there was a fierce fight. So that fight went from morning to evening. And evening when the fight would get over, Bhishma and Parshuram would get off their chariots, and Bhishma would go down on board before Parshuram as his elder. And then they would act very cordially thereafter. And this happened one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. In the course of the fight, at one particular point, Bhishma shot a set of arrows so fiercely that Parshuram almost fell, the arrows pierced through Parshuram and he fell unconscious. Seeing this, all the Brahmins cried out in sorrow. And even Bhishma was struck by grief. He said, what a lamentable thing I have done. What a grievous act I have done that I have shot my own preceptor. So that was very bad. But then he quickly looked up and he found that Parshuram had got up. And Parshuram was, his body was bloodied, but he was licking his lips in anger. And Parshuram said, Bhishma, just watch. And Parshuram, feeling enraged at this severe blow by Bhishma, shot back fiercely. In a short time, he shot such arrows that Bhishma just couldn't counter, and Bhishma was thrown off his chariot by the sheer force of the arrows that hit him, and he fell several a long distance away. And all the Brahmins inside of Parshuram cheered, but still they thought that Bhishma would be knocked down and killed. But Bhishma got up and the fight went on day in and day out, and like that, as the fight went on for over 20 days. And finally they just didn't know, 27 days happened, and Bhishma started tiring. He said, how will I ever be able to overcome? So at that time, as he was thinking on the evening, the next morning, during that time, he had a vision. And he said that, that actually, you are meant to win this, so you will get a weapon. He saw some mystical vision and he saw some sages. And the sages said that, use this weapon and by this, you will win. So Samprashva weapon was one of the, he had several weapons with him already, celestial weapons, and he was given a particular weapon also. And he used that weapon, and the next morning as the fight was going on, he took this weapon, and then when as he put that Samprashva weapon on his arrow and he was about to shoot, at that time Parshuram, when he saw that weapon, he was well versed in the weapon, in all the weapons, and he knew that this weapon was could not be countered. And he says, alas Bhishma, now I am dead. And Parshuram almost put aside his bow, and as he took that particular fearsome fatal weapon on his bow and arrow, certainly inauspicious omens came in the sky. And as the inauspicious omens came in the sky, at that time, the great sages appeared over there. So, the Ashwarushis appeared and other sages appeared. And they told Bhishma, the time of Parshuram's death has not come. Please don't use this weapon. So, actually, before this, Ganga Devi had come. Before the battle had started. And before the battle had started, Ganga Devi had come. And when she saw that they were about to assemble, as they had assembled such martial spirit, she had asked what had happened. What was going on? She came to know that Parshuram, her beloved son, her very dear cherished son, was going to fight with the formidable Parshuram. She was horrified and she begged to first Bhishma, please don't fight. He said, no, I was challenged, I have to fight. And then she went back to Parshuram. Says, please, you know, he is your younger. Please don't fight with him. He says, he has refused to follow my instructions. I have to fight with him. Unless he obeys my instructions, there's no other way. So Ganga had been grieving, but at this particular point, the various celestials, they all came and they told Bhishma, do not use this weapon. Now in the meanwhile, Parshuram had not seen this. Parshuram had put aside his bow. And then, as he was about to shoot the bow, Parshuram put aside his weapons. And Bhishma, with the weapons laid ahead, he, realizing that the arrow, when the sages told him, let's say that this arrow should not be shot, he was caught in a dilemma. Should I shoot or should I not shoot? On one side, he knew that this was the weapon by which he would win. On the other side, he did not want to disobey the sages. Also, he had never really wanted to fight with his preceptor. So, seeing all these considerations, he hesitated. And then finally, Parshuram, not knowing, he thought that I am going to be defeated. And then he put aside his weapon. And then when no arrows came, and Parshuram did not pick up his weapons, then Bhishma also put aside his weapon and went and fell at the feet of Parshuram. And Parshuram embraced him. He says, you know, you have become my most illustrious disciple, and I am proud of you. And then after that, Parshuram turned towards Amba, and he told her, you have seen me exert myself to my fullest capacity. There is nothing more I can do. Now you can go wherever you like. And in this way, Bhishma demonstrated what a formidable warrior he was. That person, that great warrior who had overpowered the Kshatriyas, 21 times single-handedly, was in a sense bested by Bhishma. At Parshuram could not overcome Bhishma, and Bhishma almost overcame Parshuram, but he did not kill him at the instructions of Kshatriyas. Now Amba, she felt fury, helplessness, bitterness, all come up within her heart. Now sometimes, as I said, life offers very strange and terrible twists to us. And when such things happen, there is not much that we can do about it. Just have to accept it. But, and we understand that this is my past karma coming upon me. And if I don't accept it, then it will create further problems for me in future. But unfortunately, instead of accepting the karmic complications, this doesn't mean that we have to accept injustice. But it just means that in responding to what has happened, if we create further complications, do further activities which complicate and aggravate, then we all get trapped in a whole net of karmic entanglements from which there is no easy way out. That's what happened to Amba. She performed a lot of austerities, and she stood on the banks of a river and started performing austerities. When Ganga Devi came there, she asked, "What are you doing?" And she told him that I want to take revenge against Bhishma. He said, "You know, this is a very impious desire that you have. You know, whatever has happened is because of one's own karma. One should not desire to take revenge against others. Accept it. I don't have such an evil desire." She says, "No, I cannot give up this desire." And Ganga cursed her that, you know, she would change into a dry and ugly river. And because of the Ganga's curse, that's what happened to Amba. But because she had also performed a lot of austerity, so because of the power of her austerities, you know, half of her part became a river, but the other part remained. And eventually, she performed a lot of austerities, pleased Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva told her, he said, "I want to be the cause of the death of Bhishma." So he said, "So be it." He says, "How will it be possible?" He says, "I am a woman." He says, "No, I said, Lord Shiva said this will happen. This will definitely happen. So this is my word." And then she performed austerities. And then for the sake of the death of Bhishma, saying this, she eventually gave up her body. And in her next life, she was born as Shikhandi. Actually, she was born as a female. Now at that time, Drupada, he had performed austerities and he had done a yajna to Lord Shiva to get a son. And when he got and Lord Shiva said, "Yes, you'll get a son." The yajna had been done well, but eventually when the child was born, they found that the child was not a male, it was a female. And they were extremely disappointed. But then Drupada's queen said that, "Actually, you know, Lord Shiva's words will definitely come true. If I said it will be a prince, it will be a prince." And he says, so then they had the news spread in the kingdom that he had got a son. And now he was a woman, but a girl, but they got news that a son, and nobody except a very few selected palace confidants knew about the truth. And now, as the prince or princesses, whatever you want to call, Shikhandi or Shikhandini, whatever you want to call, as they grew up, then the time of the marriage came. Now, Drupada decided to have the marriage done to a, with a, whom to give the marriage done? So he decided to have the marriage done with a princess, because he was a prince. And then they were shocked, how is it possible? The king and the queen were in dilemma, but they said, "No, Lord Shiva has said the words will come true." And then finally they got the marriage done with a powerful king of a neighboring kingdom. And then when the marriage was done and the princess came to the kingdom, and then eventually the news came out. The princess came to know that she had been married to not a boy but a girl. She was horrified and she sent news to her father. And her father was enraged. And he came with the army right to attack Drupada. And now Drupada had his army, but still, this king was also a formidable king. And how was he going to fight? So alone, single-handedly, against all of them. So he did not want to have bloodshed. So he was thinking of ways to avoid it. In the meanwhile, Shikhandi, Shikhandini, he felt very morose that she had been become the cause of such a great conflict, and she left home, and she went into the forest, and in the forest she saw a palace, and she went into the forest and was crying, and there were some yakshas who were there. The forest belonged to the yakshas, and the yakshas were kindly people. Now some yakshas are kindly, some yakshas are brutal. Even among the celestials there are different kinds. So these yakshas were kindly, and they asked, "What has happened? We will help you." He says, "No, nobody can help me." He says, "No, we have special powers. We can help you. What is it?" So at that time, what happened was he agreed. She continued, told the whole story, and as she was crying bitterly and telling the whole story, this yaksha said, "I'll definitely help you." So still not with much hope, he asked, "But how can you help me?" He said that, "Actually, I can, for the time period, I will offer you my gender." So this was gender transfer without a surgery. It is just the celestials have higher powers, and they were able to do such things. So this was quite miraculous, and when she came back to the kingdom, he came back to the kingdom and found that when the news came to the princess came and met the prince, and he found that he's a prince and not a princess. She was mystified, but then she was also delighted. And Drupada sent a message to the invading king that there's been some misunderstanding, don't doubt anything. If you want, you can come and check with your own daughter. And when he came and checked with the daughter, he told that everything was all right. And then the kings met cordially and everything was settled. And in the meanwhile, the yaksha who had done this favor, he was mortified because he has temporarily become a female. So at that time, Kubera came to that yaksha's palace as he was traveling through the heavens. And when he saw that his assistant is not coming to meet him, so he asked, "What is happening?" And in this way, the whole issue became quite complex. What happened? How the fatal complication, which eventually led to the death of Bhishma, this Shikhandini, who later became Shikhandi, how that led to the death of Bhishma, we will continue.